The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, just like days of old, Buckmaster and Ray back together again, at least for a while. We're together welcoming you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday. It's the third day of October 2019, broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. All podcasts available, buckmastershow.com. Live line number 790-2040. We've got some breaking news here on the Buckmaster Show. With me in studio, former Tucson Unified School District Governing Board member Dr. Mark Stegeman, who served on the board for 11 years, but as of a few minutes ago, he has submitted his resignation to Dustin Williams, of course, the superintendent of Pima County Education, school superintendent of Pima County, and it will now be up to Mr. Williams to make the decision on a replacement. But let's hear now. First of all, Mark, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
And I want to hear your reasons, and our listeners want to hear, why would you decide to make this move now?
The reason I decided to do it now, this has been in the works for months, and Mr. Williams knew this was coming. I didn't want to drop it on him unexpectedly, is that we passed a major policy package last night at the board meeting, and I didn't want to leave before that was done. That's the third and final part of a policy package to finally address the blacklist issue that was a big news story 2 or 3 years ago, and it's taken a while, but we made some good solid reforms last night, and that's my exit point.
Yeah, that was something you'd been really pushing about, the blacklist, and you had a unanimous vote on this, and the couple of items were involved in that. One of them, probably the most critical, how does someone wind up on that list in the first place, right?
Right. This policy regulates who can be on the list, the process for getting them on the list. There's a couple steps to an appeal process the person go through. It's all very transparent and documented, and hopefully it will end up with producing very few people on the list, right? It should be reserved only for extreme cases, and we've crafted it that way.
All right, now let's get back to your decision. Were there some personal issues, or did you just decide you'd had enough as far as working with some of the board members?
No, that's never been my criteria for making any decision like this. My concern is the results for the district, and there are two parts to it. The first part is I have, I guess, gradually lost confidence that the district can get to where I think it needs to be to compete head-to-head with the best local districts and the best charter schools. I mean, that's been my vision. We can make incremental reforms, and we made a very big incremental reform last night. I mean, that's a significant reform, and we've done other things that are good, but the district has a deep institutional culture and some deep problems that it needs to solve before it can really be outstanding. And I have lost confidence in our ability to get there, or maybe in my ability to steer it there.
You said you've been thinking about this. I'm sure you talked this over with your family. You've been thinking about it for a couple of months.
More than a couple of months. Oh, this has been on the table for a year.
For a year?
Yeah, I'd say a year.
And what was the tipping point? Usually there's a point where somebody says, I can't take it anymore. If you've been around a while, everybody goes through that. What was that point?
Well, it's not about I can't take it, Bill.
Okay.
I mean, I've been taking it for years, whatever it is.
What was then the tipping point that said, I'm going to go over this morning and resign?
I think I made the decision months ago. I told Dustin months ago that I expected to resign mid-year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a question of timing. I wanted to get certain things accomplished. I wanted to get the internal auditor position reestablished to get that process going. I wanted to get a new contract between Camp Cooper and U of a long-term contract, which turned out to be harder than expected. And I wanted to get this blacklist policy package passed. And basically, my view was as soon as I get those things done, then that's the time to leave.
What about the sex education dust-up? You just had an op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star a week or so ago about this. Was this involved at all in your decision?
No, that's just another issue we went through. It wasn't really my issue from the beginning. It's a big issue because people care a lot about it, but that had no place in this decision.
Well, when you look back over the 11 years, where was, did the board, did the district make progress, but then as far as you're concerned, we kind of maybe plateaued, or I'd like to hear your thoughts about
that. Well, we've made progress.
Let's reflect over your 11 years now on the board.
I'm going to send out a statement later today, mm-hmm. and one thing I will do in that statement is review some of the progress that I think we've made during that 11 years, and I think it adds up to quite a bit, but I had hoped that it would add up to much more by now. I think a critical period for me was after Superintendent Sanchez departed. Rachel Sedgwick was elected to the board, and she's a reformer. I don't agree with her about everything, but she's definitely courageous and willing to make reform. And after Sanchez left, I thought this is our opportunity. And we had about a 20-month window between that point and the 2018 election. And I thought that is the point at which TUSD goes one way or the other. And Rachel and I basically didn't have enough support on the board to make it happen. And so that 20 months, I think, was a key turning point for TUSD. It was an opportunity lost.
And when was that again?
Well, I date that from Sanchez's departure, negotiated departure,
right,
to the 2018 election, right? We needed to go into the 2018 election with a strong record of achievement and say, look at all that we've done. We have put TUSD on a new path. And we did do some stuff. We did. But it wasn't nearly enough. And then, you know, I think the opportunity faded.
Now, the hemorrhaging has stopped a little bit. Or the hemorrhaging has turned right as far on the enrollment issue.
That's right, the enrollment.
I mean, there's been good news there.
There has been good news. And I'm going to write about that in my statement. I think there were some special, and I'll mention this too, some special circumstances that helped with that. But I don't want that to take the gloss off that. I think Superintendent Trujillo has made a number of good changes. And he is more of a reformer, I think, than the last two superintendents. Fagan was a reformer too. But, you know, Trujillo, it's nice to have someone who has some of a reform instinct. But again, it's chipping away at a huge rock of the reform that's needed. And we are still losing students. I mean, it's gone down. We got a report last night, and we lost 300 or 400 students this year as opposed to 1,000 last year. That's a big improvement. Although, as I say, there were some special circumstances. And I don't mean to take away from that, but are we getting to a point where we are going to be able to compete successfully with the best charter schools and neighboring districts? Another thing last year is we didn't have new charters coming in. There were no big new charter openings last year. That helped. But that's not going to continue. More schools are going to come down here. And I am concerned about whether TUSD is really situated to take that on.
Well, let's talk for a moment about the process. And I know you have submitted your resignation just within the hour. Dustin Williams. I almost said Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, I'd be honored to submit anything to Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Williams is getting and has your letter of resignation. Is it a short letter of resignation, or did you list
the
reason?
It's very short. It's
just
very
a one
short.
Or two sentence thing, or what?
That's basically it. Yeah. But I am going to release a longer statement today.
Okay. And so what is the process, briefly, for filling your seat?
I want to say one thing before that, which is that you said, what is precipitating this? And I said, my inability anymore to see the long-term vision. But also, I have increased family responsibilities. And so it's a combination of those two things. But the family...
You want to spend more time with your family.
Well, every hour I spend with TUSD is an hour I'm not spending with my two small kids. If I could see that we were really radically reforming TUSD, which would have an incalculable benefit for Tucson, I can't even imagine. If TUSD could become the district that I dreamed and believe it could be, the benefits would be immense and I would stick with it. But given that I don't see that kind of progress and given my family, it just didn't make sense anymore.
All right, we're going to pause right here. If you're just tuning in, Dr. Mark Stegman, 11 years on the board, that comes to an end. It actually came to an end about an hour ago as he submitted his resignation to the superintendent of schools for Pima County, who will be now in charge of making the decision on a replacement. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City, and what a beautiful time of year over in the high country. It's a 3-hour drive, approximately, depending on where you are in the Tucson Valley, but once you're there, so much to do, including how about hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and enjoying cool autumn air and beautiful color that is now coming in the high country. Beautiful time of year over there. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website for places to stay, things to do, and Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's 10:30, The Voice, trusted news talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. More with Dr. Mark Stegman, former TUSD board member, 790-2040. If you have any comments about his decision, give us a call right now.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 The Voice, Southern Arizona's source for trusted news talk. I-19 between Duval Mine Road and Valencia closed until 3 this afternoon. Vice President Pence has arrived in town, so that there'll be some traffic issues for sure. It's the Buckmaster Show. We started today with some breaking news with me in studio. A long time TUSD board member, 11 years on the board. He's now a former TUSD governing board member, and I can't remember, and I've been in town 31 years, when something like this happened before. I don't think we've had a board member resign, certainly in that 30-year period, so this is certainly significant. For those just tuning in, Dr. Stegeman submitted his letter of resignation within the hour to Dustin Williams, the superintendent of schools for Pima County. It will now be Dustin's charge to appoint a replacement for Dr. Stegeman, and that there's kind of, from what I understand, there's no like time frame exactly that this has to be done. Dr. Stegeman is preparing right now. He's got his computer with him, his laptop. He's preparing already a draft that he'll be sending out to his list of media contacts and friends in the district. On that, in that letter, do you talk at all about high points?
Yes, I think that we've had some good achievements. I mean, we collectively have had some good achievements. I've helped to make some things happen I'm proud of. I think the biggest single one, and I'll share credit with Dr. Fagan here. She was really supportive of this.
Sure, Elizabeth Fagan, and I don't recall was she, when you first joined the board, was she the superintendent?
She had just recently been appointed.
Just recently appointed.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. So there were a lot of complaints for a long time with our insurance plan, with TUSD's insurance plan, and we created, and the board supported, creating a self-insurance plan with a trust board and running that plan. And I have served on a trust board almost continuously. I have recruited many of the members of the trust board, and the plan has been extremely successful. There are many fewer complaints. The financial performance has been excellent. We've kept premiums increases minimal. We have a lower administrative overhead than other peer plans. We really outperform most similar plans. I'd say it's the best financially managed part of the district. We have $24 million in reserves.
Proud of that.
I'm proud of that.
Okay.
I'm proud of that. I think hiring an internal auditor was a battle that went on for years and was finally successful. Getting some standards for instructional spending, getting that instructional spending fraction up and getting the administrative spending down. That was a battle that took years, but we finally managed to do that, and it has showing up. And we got a report last night about how in the last fiscal year, instructional spending was up and administrative spending was down. And I think pressure, I mean, I give credit to Dr. Hill, but I think pressure from the board was a big part of that. I think something early on was opening University High School to out-of-district students. That's something I supported. That was, again, a Fagan-era reform. I'm pleased with that. We improved IT a lot. And now, when I came on the board, TUSD's IT infrastructure was horrible. And now, people don't complain about it the same way. They almost take for granted that we have a reasonable, I mean, it's not perfect, but but that's something that we fixed.
We have some, sorry to interrupt you, but have people who are joining, I can tell by Facebook, as this news has gotten out. And so I would like you, again, in your words, to summarize why this letter was submitted, this letter of resignation, please.
It was the main two reasons. I mean, the biggest reason is that I'm no longer confident in or see the path to making TUSD the outstanding district I envision. It can be better than it is, but the radical reform that I had hoped for, I don't see how to make it happen. TUSD has assets that could make it happen, but I don't see the path. And then there's the fact that I have much increased family responsibilities, and it's between the two of those things. I think it was time to step down.
You have kids. They're not ready for school yet, right?
Well, I have two stepkids who are in school, and then I have one two and a half and one mm-hmm. 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
They're not quite in school yet. Not in TUSD level school.
Would you send kids to TUSD? Would you send your own?
Well,
offspring?
We had, and this is not a secret. Mm-hmm. Our stepdaughter was in a TUSD school last year,
mm-hmm.
and it's my wife's decision about her kids, but we obviously confer about it. And we weren't quite satisfied. And she's in basis this year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not why I stepped down. Mm-hmm. You know, I stepped down because I have a dream for TUSD, and parts of it have been achieved. But the radical systemic reform that it needs to compete head-to-head with charters like basis, with districts like Blowing Wells and Vail, I think that the change is too radical, and it's not going to happen.
We haven't talked much about how the board, the makeup of the board and how all that, you know, the meetings have been contentious on many occasions. Did that play into your decision?
Well, not at
the
all.
The personality thing.
No, I really, as I say, what I've always tried to be focused on is what are the results? And people say, how do you put up with it? Well, I put up with it. I really don't care about all that stuff. When the protesters came to my house and protesters came to my classroom, that's just part of the job. So what I care about is the results. But I will say, and I think we've talked about this before, that the dynamics on the board are much better this year. Layla counts, although we have slightly different visions for the district, and I've sharply disagreed with her on some issues, has brought a higher level of professionalism to the board. I think she's very sincere. We worked together on this package of blacklist reforms. I didn't mention that, but I think that's one reason it was a unanimous vote, is that Layla and I worked on this quite a bit and came to a consensus and compromises and presented that to the board. And it was working with her was a great process.
What would the radical reform that you talk about look like in your mind? What does that look like, radical reform?
Oh, we need, TUSD needs to focus on educational achievement. There's a part of the culture of the district that sees it as, a social service agency. It needs to get away from that mindset. We need radical form in how we compensate employees, what the contracts look like. We need, I didn't want to get into we need, there are certain departments in the district that I believe need to be overhauled, to say the least.
Well, let me ask you something, and we're about out of time here. We have about 2 minutes. Your resignation, you would be standing for, when would your term have been up? When would this term
at
be?
At the end of next year.
Okay, so why not just let the process take its place? You must have felt that this really needed to be done now.
Well, every hour that I spend working on TUSD is an hour that I can't spend with my two small children. The timing was really dictated by certain things that I wanted to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that was the policy package that was completed last night. I made the decision more or less months ago.
Okay.
But the timing was dictated by completing certain things. And I don't think I'm necessarily the best spokesperson for the district at this point. I think that the district needs someone who is more confident in the district's direction. I do like the leadership team personally. I think the current leadership team, if you combine the board and the superintendent and the senior administrators, I probably like better personally than any we've had the whole time I've been on the board.
Okay.
But I just don't see us getting to that point.
All right. Dr. Mark Stegman, former TUSD board member, sharing with us his thoughts as he submits his letter of resignation late this morning. Dr. Stegman, we want to wish you all the best, and don't be a stranger, as they say. Come back and see us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. CBS Network News, one-minute news brief, Buckmaster Show sponsors, then Sam Nagy, who's a Tucson City Council candidate, coming up next.
CBS News Update. It's the third largest legal settlement compensation fund in U.S. history. MGM Resorts and its insurers will pay up to $800 million to settle claims related to the 2017 shooting spree at a Las Vegas country music concert that left 58 people dead and thousands more injured. Attorney Robert Eglet.
The total settlement amount is expected to be approximately $735 to $800 million. Now, as stated, and this needs to be made clear, MGM Resorts has insurance coverage for $751 million for this case.
Chelsea Romo survived that shooting.
I've had, I believe it's a total of now 7 surgeries. The recovery process is never ending. I'm actually just got fitted for my prosthetic. that I still don't have my new prosthetic yet. I still have sutures in my right cornea. It's never ending.
CBS News Update, I'm Jim Chenevix.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, your source in Southern Arizona. For trusted news talk, we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. And I want to tell you quickly about Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. You can access their beautiful 13-acre site right there on River Road. All that great merchandise is available from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. That's part of Zocalo Village, which makes up five shops. So you got all of your gardening needs, beautiful pottery for the garden, and you have all that great merchandise from Zocalo Village. It is the Buckmaster Show. In case you missed it, Dr. Mark Stegman, TUSD board member, announced his resignation, talked about his resignation today on the show. But now we turn to politics. Ward 1, Republican Sam Nagy is with us. Sam, it was quite a challenge for you to get on the ballot, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. And
how'd that whole process go?
You know, Bill, it was one day at a time, really. And for me, it was learning how to accept help. It was learning how to be okay with defeat, in a sense, where I didn't get all my signatures. It was learning how to balance a 40-hour-a-week job with family life and other activities, part of my small business curricular things. And really, it was just a juggling act. And I'm really happy how, even though I didn't get on the ballot as mayor, I'm really happy how the process went.
Tell us about yourself. What do you do for a living?
I work as a behavioral health technician and a certified recovery support specialist. I've been working in the same company in behavioral health for going on over 11 years now, and I've been able to really, I feel, make a difference in people's lives by showing and role modeling behaviors and through my recovery process over 12 years now, and been able to also share my experience, strength, and hope to help people get well.
You have been a political guy recently, or have you always been involved with politics?
Just really recently, since January, started with the mayor.
What was the deal that got you going in that direction to go political?
You know, to be quite honest with you, Bill, it started with an ad that me and my buddy made. My brother Matthew McFerrin, him and I developed this radio ad. It was, and it was kind of like a spark to the dream to become mayor about 4 or 5 years ago, and it lay dormant for a while, and then when I had the opportunity to enter the race, I feel like my faith in God allowed me to be bold and just do something that was looked at as probably undoable, if you will, insurmountable. In as a person as I am, I decided that would be good.
The odds certainly stacked against you. It's a very heavy Democratic district, but you feel at least that it gives folks a chance to make a choice. Am I hearing you right on that?
For sure, yes.
Yeah. And what's on the agenda? What do you think that ward needs, and the city needs for that matter?
Exactly. Since it's a citywide election, I really have to also be cognizant of things going on in the city as well, but particularly in Southwest Tucson, southwest of the freeway there. I really feel like building community is a big part of this. I have some ideas and plans to create some community advisory boards to really get neighborhoods involved with each other. Also focusing on how we can work well with the heritage and culture that we have in Ward 1 that is really, really special to me in my life. And growing up there, I've experienced quite a bit of it.
Are you a local native, or are you a native? You're obviously a local guy, but what about where'd you grow up?
I was born and raised here in the city of Tucson. I was born at Tucson Medical Center. I jumped around a little bit with my mom and dad moving different places in the city, but I found myself in Ward 1 about 1995 and continued my life from there.
What about your opponent? How do you differ from Lane Santa Cruz, the Democrat?
That's a really good question. I really feel like Lane and I do have some similarities. I've worked with her a couple of different times now. One of the things I see a little different is just passion for helping people and help themselves. And I can't say that she doesn't have passion, because I've heard her speak before and share. But just kind of the underdog scenario, I think, in my life is really pushing me and motivating me to be a better person in this campaign.
Do you consider yourself, I mean, you said kind of the underdog. Have you felt that way kind of in your life and growing up as an underdog?
Sure, yeah.
Can tell me about that.
Yeah, I was raised, I had some challenges growing up when I was younger. I did struggle with a lot of different, just back and forth kind of abilities to be in school and manage my life and finances and that kind of stuff as I grew older.
How old a man are you?
I'm 36 right now.
Okay, yeah. So you had these struggles going on.
Yeah.
What type of struggles were they? Can you specifically tell us?
Yeah, sure. I was at a young age, I started using drugs and drinking and kind of got into trouble that way and went to jail a few times and it racked up quite a bit of chaos in my life at early age and about 16 years old. And so about 24, I got sober. I'm 36 now. So that's 12 years of just complete growing and learning and advancing, and not just learning, but advancing in my life. I have a sock outreach to the community. I bought a truck, a brand new truck in 2016. I got married to a beautiful woman who I call my wife today. We bought a home. I have a little speaking business that I've worked with News 4 on to kind of develop some different initiatives that way.
Well, there's, I think, congratulations here on several fronts are in order on my part listening to this. It sounds like, Sam Nagy, you have really gotten your act together, and regardless of how this run for Ward 1 goes, you've got your life together, and that is probably the most important thing. It is the most important thing.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. So if you could change something about the city, and you first looked at mayor, running for mayor, and now Ward 1, is the city on the right path, do you think, to prosperity and a safer place?
I think to try to just give an answer of some sort,
sure.
I do believe the city is a great city. Mm-hmm. I enjoy being here. I enjoy living here, and I enjoy the people I've met all throughout my life here in Tucson. As far as some of the city government issues and concerns, I do feel like there's always room for change. There's always room for improvement. I feel like we are on a path. I feel like, and deeply understand that this is not just a one-person deal. There's so many different working parts. But really understanding that this is, we're in kind of an interesting situation right now as a city of Tucson.
All right, Sam Nagy, where could people find out more about you? I know you're very active on Facebook. What are some of the places people can find out about you?
Well, the biggest right now, I have a pretty big social media presence, Nagy for Council with the number 4 in the middle, Nagy for Council. If someone wants to email me, it's Nagy4Council1@gmail.com. And I also have a P.O. box that people can get in touch with me at, P.O. box 13656, Tucson, Arizona 85732.
Sam Nagy, thank you very much. Good luck to you, Sam.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted source for news talk in Southern Arizona. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. He is in the house, the counselor, Don Luce. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about today, Don. We'll be getting right at it after we take a break and hear from the great partners that make our show possible. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, your source for trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and with me in studio, attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group, offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. It's great to be back.
Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. I'm just so delighted and honored to have people like Don Luce on our team. We've got 24 contributors from a wide variety of fields, and Don's been with us since day one. He's the author of two very popular books, so much so that both are now in second printings, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. Don did not write this for his colleagues in the legal profession necessarily, right?
Absolutely. It's for non-lawyers.
There you go. And Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. This is so important. People don't want to talk about their estate, but I think I can say with certainty after going through the process, Don, you will feel better after you go through the process.
So many people say that. You know, it forces you to deal with some issues that are difficult, but you need to do it, and it's not that difficult.
All right, big story today. Governor Ducey calls a federal judge an embarrassment to the legal field. Now, this is stemming from a decision. And this is a pretty darn big story that broke here a couple of days ago about education trust fund and how we are going to be funding our schools.
Right. So what happened, Bill, was a retired construction worker filed a lawsuit against the governor claiming that the governor had acted illegally in taking increased money from the state trust fund. Now, going back to 2016, the voters of Arizona enacted a measure that allowed increased funds to be taken for the use of K-12 education funding, and the state, pursuant to that initiative, which was voter approved, took additional funds from the state trust land. The judge in this case said that was illegal. The judge said that in order to do that, Arizona needs to get congressional approval. The state contends that approval is not required, and this plaintiff, Michael Pierce, who I said is a retired construction worker and filed this lawsuit, was successful in getting federal judge Neil Wake to issue a ruling declaring the state's conduct to be illegal. And I think this is interesting. The judge in his ruling said that if the state takes the position that they don't need congressional approval in connection with further increased withdrawals from the state trust fund, he's prepared to issue an injunction preventing that from happening. So the governor's spokesperson says this, quote, marks massive judicial overreach and activism. It's an extremely, and this is part of the quote, it's an extremely poorly reasoned decision ignoring legislative precedent in multiple states as well as well-established legal precedent for federal courts, and it will be overturned on appeal. So an appeal is contemplated, and how you appeal from a federal district decision is you go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the circuit that has issued a lot of decisions recently, particularly having to do with the president's ability on the border wall and funding and those sort of things. But it looks like the state of Arizona is headed to San Francisco to the Ninth Circuit to try to get Judge Wake's decision overturned.
This is a big deal for funding here. This is regardless of
these appeals, there will not be changes right away, apparently, to the state taking money from the state trust fund.
Well, so
or am I wrong about that?
So I would imagine that if Arizona is going to continue to increase the level of K through 12 education funding by withdrawing from the Arizona Land Trust, they're going to seek congressional approval first. They did that already in 2018 and got it, although they still claim that no congressional approval was required. And the theory was, we're going to get congressional approval. We don't need it, but we want to end the litigation. And to be on the safe side, we'll get it anyway. I think that's the course of action that the state will take if they're going to do this again. But the judge made it quite clear that if they don't get congressional approval and they attempt to do this again, he will issue an injunction forcing them to not do that.
This quote, I have to share this with our listeners. Judge Neil Wake puts on a robe in the morning and thinks he's God. That's a quote from Governor Ducey. That's pretty strong stuff.
It is. And what we're seeing, for better or for worse, is we're seeing the executive branch, Governor Ducey in the case of the state of Arizona, and you know, President Trump in the case of the United States, being very, very outspoken and in many cases critical about federal district judges who issue decisions that they disagree with. And I don't think in the history of our democracy we've really seen that level of comment, if you will, on judicial decisions. But how many times have we seen it from the president with mm-hmm. respect to a decision that he disagrees with, you know, especially decisions coming out of the state of California from federal district judges there or the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is located in California. And in this case, we just saw it from Governor Ducey.
We're talking about that ballot measure that passed in 2016. And let's move ahead now to 2020, the ballot in Arizona. We may have a second initiative on recreational marijuana. How does this differ from the first one?
All right. So the second initiative, which may or may not be on the ballot, but there is a group, an exploratory group, who is considering putting it on the ballot, would essentially be different than the initiative that is currently being proposed and signatures are being obtained for. One of the big differences between the two is that under the first initiative, essentially the existing medical marijuana dispensaries would have first shot at selling recreational marijuana, and in large part it would be limited to the existing dispensaries. And the thinking there is, look, we don't want a marijuana store on every corner, so let's use
existing structure.
Let's use the existing infrastructure to sell recreational marijuana. So in theory, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. In practice, recreational marijuana is a multi-billion dollar industry. And the folks who are critical of the current initiative are saying, look, you're essentially giving them a monopoly to sell recreational marijuana. It's not fair to people who would like to open a recreational store if it passes, but be prevented from doing so because there are already 130 or so medical marijuana dispensaries in existence that would have first crack at it.
So in effect, they're saying it would limit free enterprise. You couldn't open a store. If you wanted to open a recreational marijuana store, you would have to, you wouldn't be able to.
Right. unless
you already had that footprint in the medical marijuana area.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And because there is so much money at stake, the funding for these various proposals is being provided not only by in-state interests, but also by out-of-state interests who are coming into Arizona and who already have interest in facilities in Arizona in the medical marijuana field. So as we know, Bill, the trend nationally is to legalize marijuana either medically or recreationally, and the majority of states have one or both, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Now, under the initiative that has already been been put forward, there would be a 16% excise tax in addition to the existing sales tax.
Oh, boy.
So we're talking like 24% in most jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the group that's presenting this alternative proposal is saying, look, 16% may actually be counterproductive, because even though it may raise on paper $300 million in extra revenue, what's going to happen in practice is the same thing that's going on in Colorado, according to this group, that a lot of the marijuana sales are being conducted on the black market in connection with which no tax is being collected. And so the state is losing all
of
the tax
money.
Revenue
yeah.
through the black market.
All right, Don Luce, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson, Phoenix. His two books, very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don Luce, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. My pleasure.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, your source for trusted news talk. On behalf of Don Luce, I'm Bill Buckmaster. And Ray Allen, thank you, Ray, for your support on the other side of the glass. Have a great afternoon.